Well, good afternoon to all, and welcome to our noonday Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We welcome all those who are listening by the podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today and enlightened and receive clarity. We are still in chapter 14, and we're going to end up in chapter 14 today, God willing. We ended at 14, and before we go to 14, I just want to ask, does anybody have any thoughts about where we were in 13, 14 that they want to add that maybe they've gotten some clarity or understanding from the previous chapters before we move on? Because this 14, it has a lot of meat in it to unpack and to understand. And sometimes we don't always get it hearing in this in our sessions, but we may get it later at home as in our Bible studying, or we may be where however the Lord will give it to you. So I'm just asking if anybody has gotten any revelation or want to share what they've received or a greater understanding, please do before we move on, because the three beasts that we talked about last week was very important, and so it clearly just summed up where you either accept or reject. If you reject, this is the last of anything from Deuteronomy. Okay, so if we don't have any comments or thoughts of last week's session, we'll just go ahead and move on to chapter 14. So if we can have someone read, let's see, where are my notes? Chapter 14, if we could get someone to read 14 to 15, 14 to 16, I'm sorry, 14 to 16.
And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped.
Okay, so help us out, Brother Bobby. What are we hearing here in these verses? What do you?
Well, 14, it appears as I would say, John was not only in his spirit, but he looked, you know, which mm-hmm. means he saw these things. He looked up and there was a cloud. Then he's one that said on the cloud, like the Son of Man. That's an indication to me of the deity of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that up out of Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, based on my note here. And the deity of Christ really means, you know, it refers to the one being supreme, the supreme being. And up on that cloud was the deity, the Son of Man, that sit there. Now, when he saying that the earth is ready to be harvested, that led me into Matthew's Gospel chapter 13,
mm-hmm.
and I just make sure I have a little thing here.
13:39,
I think it was.
13:24 to 30.
13:39 to 43.
Oh, okay.
And that one also.
Okay.
13:24 to 30, that one came up on me, and chapters verse number 15.
Okay, hold those chapters, because we're gonna go back to those. Okay. For a minute, please.
Because when you
13,
mm-hmm. 13, Matthew 13. Mm-hmm. But when you look at you said hold those chapters.
Yeah.
But when you look at the harvest, the Son of Man is saying that the earth is ready to be reaped, to be harvested, rather. And he also mentioned that in the Gospels there. That's not a misstatement, but Christ uses angels for the harvest. So, you know, we will always say, well, what if? And, you know, this doesn't say that. Christ uses angels in the scenario when he said that Christ will do this, but he did in the form of an angel. He did these things. And 15, another angel, this is not the same angel, it's another angel, came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, that Son of Man sat on the cloud. He thrust in the sickle. Now, these sickles, you know, they're used to, I don't know if you ever seen a sickle in the cane patch or when you cut cane down and stuff like that, you know, they're pretty sharp. You know? So this is another reams of judgment as well that's being rendered on earth. You say, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat there again, that's Christ again, on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And it's not, it would appear as though the angels, the angel is giving the order, but the angel is not giving the order. The angel is being used by God.
The angels are used by God.
Right.
Yeah. So you're right. It could appear, if you didn't keep in mind, the angels don't have any authority over God. That they are under the authority of God. Amen.
When so they use this sickle word, does that mean a cutting away?
Yeah.
When you cutting away the okay.
Well, also sickles have been used for centuries to harvest with. And it's an instrument or tool to use for harvest.
Harvesting.
Okay, so now we're at 17 and 18.
Yes, just before we finish, I just happened to notice this down here, and I was going to say it. It reads here, a sharp sickle establishes this, anyway, what we were talking about, a sharp sickle establishes this, and speaks of the judgment of the wicked, which you asked about it. And it, he made a comment here referring to Dr. Newell, calls attention to something that is quite interesting. He notes that the word sickle occurs only 12 times in the scriptures, of which 7 are in the verses of this section. Also, the word sharp occurs 7 times in Revelation and 4 times in this chapter.
Wow.
Sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah. We're seeing, are we saying the adjective of sharp, sickle versus sickle?
Right.
Because if it's sharp, I mean, they
ain't missing
nothing. They ain't missing nothing. It's like, when Anne Boleyn, was decapitated. They brought the Frenchman from the swordsman from France, who was known for his sharp sickle, because it took one swipe and that was it.
Yeah. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he also carried a sharp sickle. And another angel came forth from the altar, who has authority and power over fire. And he called with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, put forth your sickle and reap the fruitage of the vine of the earth, for its grapes are entirely ripe.
So, the work is being done, because ripe means, well, it's time to pick, to sort out.
Right.
You know, when it's ripe. the harvest is ripe. So here we get
Something else that was noted in this stuff that he had here about, I don't exactly see it, but anyway, he pointed out that, actually believers are not urged to harvest today. They are urged to sow. Mm-hmm.
To what?
To sow.
To salt?
To sow.
Sow. Okay.
Yeah. And
so,
the harvest then the harvest is going to come.
And the harvest comes with the sharp sickle.
Yes, indeed.
And the judgment and the wrath. Mm-hmm. So what we have? We have the sickle, the judgment, and then the wrath.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. We're reading now because we're going to go back and really have more discussion on this. Who has 19 and 20?
Okay. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great wine press of wrath of God. Mm. And the wine press was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the wine press up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs.
Wow.
That's a lot of blood.
Brother Bobby, you're the numbers cruncher. How many miles or something is that?
And I did do this one. a furlong really was 220 yards.
Okay.
That's what a furlong was. And when you look at, he's saying 600 furlongs, that is 1,600 times 220, and I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like 353,000 yards. And when you take the 353,000 yards and divide it by 1,760 yards, 1,760 yards is a mile. When you divide it by that, you come up with something like 200 miles.
See, that's why we're so blessed to have this to help us out. So that's 200 miles of blood.
Yes.
Jesus.
Up to the horse's brow.
And it got interesting because when I looked at what my writer is saying here in the body here, he's saying that 1,600 furlongs approximately 184 miles. When you look at, it's 184 miles, the full length of Palestine.
Yeah.
When you look at that and take the same scenario, you're talking roughly about 323,000 yards, and divide that by a mile, 1,760 yards, that will come with 184 miles. To equate what my writer is saying in the book here. But a furlong really, was 220 yards. That's what it equates to, 220 yards. And I got into that one day when I was looking at, remember the story about Samson and Delilah, not to go too far on the thing there, but when most people say Samson was something like 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Samson was actually over Goliath. Goliath was actually over 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a big one. That's all I know. It was a big one.
It was 6 or 8 cubits, and a cubit is from your elbow to whatever the little bone is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normally something like 21 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take in consideration of that and do the math on it, he's over 10 feet.
No, we let you do the math on it.
Yeah.
How much you weigh back?
Okay. I'm still trying to digest all that blood.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm still trying to digest
that blood.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That high, too?
Well, I'd like for us to kind of like go back, and now we're going to read some supporting scriptures. Now, the harvest of the earth in these verses is depicted of the conclusion of the harvest of the earth. Did we all see that? Yeah, this is depicting the conclusion of the harvest of the earth. Now, in Matthew 13, If someone would turn to Matthew 13, that's why I was telling you hold up. But I have two different parts of that. I have Matthew 13, 24 to 30, mm-hmm. if we could get someone to read that for us.
And I only highlighted 30.
13. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
13, he said 24 to 30?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares along with the wheat and went his way.
Mm-hmm.
But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them out? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with mm-hmm. them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in a ball and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You were you going to say something?
No, I was listening to James.
Okay. So Jesus says the righteous and the wicked will grow together, okay, mm-hmm. until the end of the world. And then they will be harvested and receive their reward. If we can have, now here you are, Matthew 13, 36 to 43, Bobby. That's where you were taking us before. Uh-huh. Okay, so 36 to 43, would you read that for us, please, sir?
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Bless his heart. The field is the world.
Yes.
The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy that sowed them is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The harvest is the end of the world,
mm-hmm.
and the reapers are the angels. And we just talked about that.
Yes, mm-hmm. we did.
As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Hallelujah. Mm,
praise the
Lord. Hallelujah.
Wow.
So see, we have Jesus telling us, and John gets the revelation later,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
So now we have the King of Kings has received his kingdom, and now he is coming to take possession. That's
Amen.
Where he's coming to take possession. At the first advent, Christ sowed the seeds of the gospel. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
This is where he sowed the seeds when he first came. He sowed the seeds of the gospel to take possession. At the first advent, Christ sowed the seeds of the gospel of truth. At his second advent, he reaps the harvest and gathers the fruit of his labors. Hallelujah. That's us. Ah! Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, clap your hands for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and
amen.
All of amen. The earth shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send the angels with a great sound trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect, hallelujah, from the winds, from the end of heaven to the other. Somebody turn to Matthew 24 and read 29 to 31, please. Matthew 24, 29 and 31. Oh, glory to God. Mm.
24 and what you said, 30?
What'd you say? 29 to 31.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be.
I'm so nervous. Shh. Listen, this is for you.
Okay.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Jesus. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the ends of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. Is that it?
See, that's why you shake it over here, because you're so happy.
I couldn't even get the face. I'm shaking. That's what you're happy.
The word, this word, make you shake. You got to shake.
Ooh,
shake it. Throw up your hands and holler.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, for the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout.
What chapter was that?
With the voice of 24. The archangel and the trump of God.
24. Matthew 24.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody turn to First Thessalonians. I'm getting like you now, Francis. First Thessalonians 4:16-17. First Thessalonians 4:16-17.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Yes.
Now, I got a observation. It says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we say when somebody died that they went to heaven and they with God. If the dead in Christ is going to rise first, how is it that sometimes we say that the person is already in heaven?
See, one of the things that...
Are we wrong for saying that?
Well, the Bible says all spirits return to God. All right. But in that context, we're not talking about the spirit, we're talking about the breath of life returns to God. We will never... Remember, flesh and blood will not enter. So when the dead in Christ shall arise, in our mind, or let me say, most would think that they're going to rise like they died, you know, in there. We don't know, but they will arise, okay? Now, then, if they arise and go to be with the Lord in heaven, it can't be flesh and blood.
Right.
So, but they will be, you will know them. Mm-hmm. You will know who they are. See, this is something that God is not going to give you all the things. We just got to accept that, okay, you said they're going to rise, and I believe it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you're going to do it, because I don't know how you did a lot of things in my life, but you did. So I just believe it. I can't give you, you know, really, I would like to know myself.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that that's what we say.
Yeah.
You know, we say that.
But everybody does
rest in heaven, or we know that they're up in heaven rejoicing, when this scripture says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, if the dead in Christ shall rise first, that to me, that's saying that they're not already in heaven, but that when he comes back and the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ, not the flesh, but the spirit.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you,
judgment?
Well, let me ask you this. Has anybody read in the word where when you die you go right to heaven? Is it
right?
There's nothing in there.
Wait,
hold it, Brother James. That's where that comes from. That comes from man's interpretation. Now you go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say
that
one instance where the criminal that was crucified with Christ.
Right.
And he said that today you will be with me in paradise.
Right. In paradise.
That's as close as I've ever
heard to heaven.
Yeah.
You don't hear. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. There's nothing in the scriptures that that you go to heaven. This is man's. Because if you listen today in the world and forever, the secular world, everybody going to heaven.
Well, there's one other thing that in the Bible, it mentioned this, I think, one of the parables, I think it was, that where the dead was being held in the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that.
They didn't go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The rich man.
Yeah.
The rich man and Lazarus,
right,
the baby.
Right, right.
See, there is a wall. But I don't want to get into that because that takes us off.
Yes.
But what I want to say to you is that what I understand, that there is no, we don't know how the dead in Christ going to look when they will rise. Okay? They will rise up. Because listen to this, if flesh and blood cannot enter in like we are now, then if we say we're going to see our saints again, how are we going to know, how are you going to know who they are if they're not? We don't know how that's going to happen.
Yes.
But it says you will know them, you will see them. But we won't see them like this. See,
but that's not my,
okay.
That wasn't my
okay.
question. I just brought up that we say, you know, we say the person goes, is in heaven,
okay.
and they're walking around in heaven and have a heavenly birthday. But this scripture says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Right.
Well, if they shall rise first, either they're going to rise first,
okay.
or they're already there. I think that's the confusion.
Let me give you this. When people literally all die, okay, they are resting. They are resting for their judgment.
Okay,
they are resting. So their all breath goes back to God, but they are resting. They don't go directly to what we call paradise, heaven, right away.
Or hell.
They are resting right now. That's why I didn't want to get into the bosom of Abraham with that. Mm-hmm. But that is a resting place. There is a wall between the saints that are resting and the ungodly that
that's
are resting.
Okay.
There's a place. But they are resting.
Now see, that makes sense to me.
That's why Jesus told them, he said Lazarus was asleep.
Right.
He's not dead.
He said the girl was
He said he's asleep. And the Lord, they're asleep. They're resting. So when they rest, the ones in Christ who are resting shall go first.
Okay.
Does that make a little?
That make
Dorothy,
that, yeah,
you
that
want
makes
to
sense
say?
To me.
Okay.
If you want to believe the testimonies of Christians who's dying and going to heaven and recognize their loved ones, they welcome them when they get there. That's something to think about too. And then God will say, "Well, I want you to go back and take a message or whatever." Mm-hmm. So they go say they see their loved ones when they die.
I'm confused by what you just said.
I would take the position.
She said what you agreed with.
Mm-hmm. She said in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I would take the position based upon what Christ told the thief on the cross with him. He told him that today, and this is to me another word for heaven. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise is likened unto the word heaven.
Mm-hmm. And paradise at one point was Eden.
Yeah.
You know, the Garden of Eden.
That's what it described.
No sin, no death, no nothing. And the presence of the Lord was there with them all the time till we messed up. Got that, friend?
Okay.
This is probably way off, but you know when 144,000, and then they told the martyrs, that their time wasn't mm-hmm. then.
What did it say? He said, continue to rest.
To rest. Mm-hmm. And that's, is that the same?
Yes.
That goes with the same scripture?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I probably can't explain myself good, but I have it in my head mm-hmm. what you're
it's
trying.
Resting.
Yeah.
It's resting.
They're resting too. Okay.
Okay. So they're resting.
Resting, yes, ma'am.
I can go with resting.
Well, thank you.
Not only that, so you still have to appear before the judgment of they will.
Right, everybody. No,
but I was just looking at it from the angle of, are we saying that wrong when
we say we are.
The person is already in heaven when this scripture say, and the dead in Christ shall rise.
That's because
first.
Because they that's their interpretation, and that's you know we.
Man, yeah.
I mean. Okay. You know, we got people talking about, yeah, they up in heaven walking on gold-plated streets and
yeah.
singing and having all, how you?
They don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
all we know is that they're resting until the harvest.
I can accept that they are resting.
Right.
And I can accept that the dead in Christ shall rise.
That's
first.
Why you mm-hmm. have to read and pray with the Spirit to get understanding. Because if you, there is so much a misinterpretation mm-hmm. of the word out here now, and people who don't study or seek truth, that's why they receive everything, you know, just the way it is. And so they operate in that mindset of what they receive. So if they're good people on earth, then they're going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I heard something so profound by one of my Bible teachers yesterday, and I'm going to share this with you. He said, I know they're going to beat me up on this one. He said, but let me tell you something. All who are not going to be with the Lord forever, their sin of why they're not going to be with God forever is not because they are homosexual. Not because they murdered somebody or they lied or steal. It's because they didn't believe who mm-hmm. Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is.
This was said,
never accepted
this was said Sunday.
Yeah, well, I didn't probably, was Sunday night or Sunday morning?
No, Sunday morning.
Oh, I was here. I didn't pick that up. Yeah. But that is something we're not taught.
Yes,
you know, you got, that's why you got, that's why
I've
you
always ha- thought that, though. I've always
well, that's
that.
Why you have, you know, see, and let me tell you something. This because foolishness with giving sin. Communion to people, you know, is just it's a sin against God.
Right.
You had the President of the United States in the midst of his madness Sunday with all this stuff that he was putting out there. He went to church. He went across the street to the Episcopal Church, and y'all cannot believe what that man preached about. He preached about
hatred
and America, and we're better than this, and we should not be judging. And he read it out, and that person was sitting right there. That man didn't know he was coming. God used him, and after he heard it, he took communion. Now put a point there at John McCain's home. Well,
daughter.
I called it funeral. No, at his funeral. The congregation recited the Apostles' Creed.
He didn't open his mouth.
Sure didn't. Not him and his wife. They didn't open their mm-hmm. mouth to recite it.
Matter of fact, he had the paper down.
Right. That's right. And I saw. Mm-hmm. And yet, he went to church yesterday
and took communion.
Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible says you die. You see, and it's not necessarily in the flesh. You die spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you know, this giving communion to just nilly willy mm-hmm. as a ritual kind of thing mm-hmm. is a sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
When you take communion, you are communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are following his instruction to take it often mm-hmm. in remembrance of him until he comes.
Mm-hmm.
You are asking again, forgive me of my sins, and I praise you for who you are, for what you did for me on that cross.
Amen. And somebody.
The church I used to go to, we didn't open it up to the public, like on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You have all kinds of business. It was just on Wednesday nights.
Right.
We'll do a 3-day fast, and on that Friday night,
We would do foot washing and communion. That was at the Pentecostal church that I used to go to.
That's what we did. That's the same. You from Pentecostal church?
What church you went to?
The Church of God in Christ. St. Paul in Bellevue, Mississippi.
See, I was at Holy Temple Church of God in Christ in Philadelphia.
I was at Bethesda Temple.
Okay. Well, let's not get homegoing here. But they may have been a bit legalistic and religious, you know. But they were solid with that. You didn't just come and just, you know, and just take communion. No. See, and I've been in my church when I was growing up, where people wouldn't take it because they knew better. If they weren't ready to confess that sin, they wouldn't take it because they feared God. Right. Mm-hmm. So we know what we've got today is we know that the harvest, they're resting until the harvest.
Okay.
And then the sickle comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sickle comes.
Separate the
wheat from the tares.
And the good from the evil.
Mm.
You know, another comment based on the passage of scripture you read there. What's Revelation? I just lost my point in Revelation. There are some times when I go in my bag. I won't say my bag of tricks.
Here's what you want to say.
Don't try to fix it up, just say it.
But you know, when we read a passage of scripture, which is scripturally that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Mm-hmm. But there's a caveat to that. We all don't have to die. And you just read that.
Well, see, I was gonna say that one of the things that's uplifting to me is verse 17 that said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. So that tells me, if I'm interpreting and understanding the scripture right, some of us ain't going to be dead.
There will be a caveat to that as well.
Some of us are not going to experience death
as we know it to be, because we're going to still be alive and we're going to be changed, and we're going to be caught up.
That's the key operative is change. Right. So we don't know how that change is going to occur, but we're going to be changed.
according to what I'm reading here.
That's why I go in my bag sometimes.
Now, that is something that I'm excited about. And I may not be one of the ones
because we don't know.
But there are going to be according to the scripture.
But either way, it don't matter.
As long as I'm in that number. I may be the ones that are dead in Christ and ride. Either way, I got to go.
Hello, knock,
knock. Either way.
That's right.
It's up to God how I get. I mean, it's up to me how I get, but I'm saying I want to be in that number.
Oh, you will be. You will be.
Either or, it don't matter.
Amen. Yes, Sister Sandra.
A commentary on this. I used to not hear this decades ago, but it's really in this generation. And to me, I have a little check every time I hear people say it. And it's sort of in line with what we're talking about right now. People will say, I haven't seen anything in scripture that lines up with this, but, oh, they're in a better place. She's in a better place.
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
People used to know, I didn't hear that a long time ago, but now this generation has taken over.
Oh, yeah.
This comes out of their mouths so quickly.
Yeah.
Well, that's
one thing that we've learned in Stephen ministry, being a Stephen minister student. That's one of the things that you do not say to people when they're grieving on the death of a loved one, that they're in a better place.
It bothers me so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we do not say that. You do not say that to people.
I think a lot of times people say that because that person has really suffered a lot, and that, you know, from just my experience, you know, like they suffer a lot. Either they had Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll say, "Well, she in a better place," you know. But if they haven't made that commitment to Christ, who's to say
that they're in
they just resting
to the judgment.
Right. Yeah.
You know, some of the things that we say, a lot of times I take a position, I listen to what you're saying, and I'm also listening to what you're not saying.
Okay.
When my daughter passed, my daughter transitioned in 2014, mm-hmm. the nicest thing a person said to me in this church was Ann Butler. Some people say they know how you feel. Well, you don't really know how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Ann told me, you know how soft she talked, you know. You know, I understand what you're going through because they lost a son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she mm-hmm. does.
You know, and we had a long talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we talked about this year, mm-hmm. this year, right there in sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And I can understand what a person is going through, but I don't know how they feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and when my mother transitioned in 2007, I still have, I think it's 4 cards. You know, people send mm-hmm. cards, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not much of a card person, I tell you that right now. So. If you die, don't think I'm going to send you a card. But, you know, I'll send when I'm, my wife, she does that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But I still have 4 of the best cards from some friends of mine when my mother transitioned and her Bible at my house, R.A.T. right now. Mm-hmm. Every so often, I look at those cards. And it's not say the person who sent the card is the wording that's mm-hmm. on
yeah,
the card. They didn't just go in and pick up a sympathy card.
Yeah.
They took their time
yeah, and found
going through. Right.
My daughter
and
did.
That spoke volumes to me. Mm-hmm. And I still have 4 of the cards that mm-hmm. be sent.
Mm-hmm.
And like I sent out that thing there, but I sent out, I had a birthday special. And I had sent out a email and text message. Don't send me no call. I'm tired of cards. I literally have a bag of cards at the house. And there are 4 cards that I normally put on the little counter and just be in there. My mother's last birthday card she sent me.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law's last birthday card she sent me. My adopted mother card she sent me. And my deceased daughter. Those mm-hmm. are the only 4 cards I put on. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have completed chapter 14, and next week we will be going into chapter 15. We thank all of you who are here today and all on our podcast. We pray God's blessings over your life and the richness and the fullness and the understanding of the word. In Jesus' name.